We're doing Drashot Ran, we're up to page Kuf Yud Chet in the Machon Shalem edition, page Reish Ayin Aleph in the Mosader of Kuk edition. And the Ran had asked that we sometimes encounter in the Torah that people get very severe punishments that are not recorded in the Torah. How could it be the rabbis say that he who transgresses a rabbinic institution will get the death penalty? Doesn't say that in the Torah. Where'd that come from? And once you ask that, so you have to ask, how come Asa was so punished? He got crippled and he died because he made the rabbis of his day work and help rebuild the fortifications. Where does it say that for such a sin you get such a punishment? How come it says that Reuven didn't really sin as badly as the Torah describes it, and yet Reuven lost the three crowns of being firstborn, the priesthood, the crown of the kingship? You're telling me his sin wasn't so severe. He only shifted his father's bed. It wasn't that he actually slept with his father's wife. But okay, but then how do we understand that he got such a severe punishment if at the end of the day his action wasn't so severe? V'atshuvah b'chol eilu ha'shelot. So the answer to all of these questions, says the Ran, ki ha'onshin she'ne'emru b'torah hem klaliyim she'yasigu l'chol adam. When the Torah describes a certain punishment for a certain act, the Torah is describing the general formula. This is relevant to every person. Anyone that transgresses A is promised the following punishment. That's what the Torah is describing. Aval yesh od onashim chalukim kefi apratim. But that doesn't limit the Torah. Sometimes, depending on the individual, depending on his level, depending on the severity of the act vis-a-vis that person, so then there are other punishments that he might suffer. Ki ha'over al divrei Torah mitzad toldat ha'yetzer ya'anesh al lav echad malkot arba'im. Let's take a classical case, a generic case. A person transgresses a biblical prohibition because he feels like it. There's some yummy chaylev being sold, non-kosher fats, and he's salivating, and he starts reaching for it, and the witnesses say, "Don't! It's a biblical prohibition." And he says, "No, I must." And he runs and grabs some of that non-kosher fat and gobbles it down, and then he's going to get lashes. Okay, so that's a classical case. But what happens if a person says, I don't care if the Torah says that. It's not that he's overtaken by desire, he just couldn't care less. So that's more severe, because what he's saying is, I don't care, he's mocking the words of Hashem. And if that's the attitude, if it's a question of I don't care, so then there isn't any little dot in the Torah that doesn't carry the weight of the death penalty with it, if a person's going to just approach it mockingly. והחילוק בזה, כי העובר על דברי תורה מצד תולדת היצר איננו חוטא רק באותו מעשה לבד. And in order to understand the distinction, so take a look. When a person sins because he desires, I had a very interesting thing last Shabbos. This happened twice, two Shabbos in a row. But last Shabbos was worse. 1 month old baby, kids that are sick, and the electric goes. And we were out in Kochav Yaakov, and it was freezing. We were sitting in the room, you could see your own breath. So the first Shabbos it happened, I was sick in bed. Some of the kids were sick in bed. And 2 o'clock in the morning, the light bulb in the bathroom blew and took the whole house with it. So I'm standing in the house, and I'm thinking, this is dangerous. I have less than a month old baby in the house. And it was cold outside. And I see the circuit breaker. And I could just flip the switch and I have all my electric and all my heats back on, right? So technically, luckily, I could call a non-Jew to do it, which is what I did later, not 2 o'clock in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, I started panicking. I started thinking, what am I doing? I got a baby in the house. So we waited, and the heat remained in the house. You know, worst comes to worst, I would have had to knock by a neighbor's door and say, "Could I leave my baby by you, my wife and the baby by you, until the electric turns on?" But it was the first time I realized how a person can really have a Yetzer Hara to turn a switch on Shabbos. You know, I never had that before, where I was standing there and just looking at the switch and saying, "I wish I could turn that on." That was never a Yetzer Hara before. But when there's a baby and there are sick kids, suddenly it takes on a whole different light.
Isn't that a
different
headset?
Well,
to do it with your
elbow? I don't see any reason for a headset. Knock on the neighbor's door and go there. It's an inconvenience, but desecrating Shabbos is much worse. To transgress a law, it says you have to be willing to give up all your money. If someone would tell you, "Look, you can, it'll cost you $10,000, but you could turn on that light," would you do it? If you were told, "Pay $10,000, you're so concerned for the baby, pay $10,000, and then you could turn on the switch," no, you wouldn't do it. You'd say, "I'll knock on the neighbor's door." For $100, you'd knock on the neighbor's door. Forget $10,000. You'd say, "I'm really, really sorry. You know, our electric just blew, and I have a one-month-old baby," and they'd be polite and say, "Okay, whatever," you know. And then they'd go back to sleep.
Certain neighborhoods in Israel, you might not have
to tonight. That's a different question. You're right. It could end up being a situation that's bordering on Pikuach Nevesh. But before you say that, you have neighbors all around saying, "So last Shabbos, it was really cold, and we had no control because it was the electric company that shut the electric on a large part of the yeshuv." But when you're standing there freezing, so then it's a different feeling. So the Ran says, when a person transgresses it because he has a tremendous desire, so then it's one mitzvah that he transgressed. That's true. But when a person says, "I don't care that the Torah says it, I'm turning on that switch," then in that action, what he's really saying is, "I don't care. The Torah can say this, the Torah can say that. I don't care." So then it's not that action, it's the whole Torah that his action reflects on. It's one thing if my action reflects on the fact that, hey, I'm freezing, I got a one-month-old baby, you know, what am I supposed to do? So sometimes people don't even think about the idea that they can knock on a neighbor's door. But it's another thing when you when the attitude is, "I don't care." Well, then if you don't care, you're talking about the whole Torah, you're not talking about one mitzvah. V'dvar Torah zeh yechalek kefi ha'ovrim. And the transgression here depends on every person's level. It depends on a person's level. There's a story about a big rabbi who was once seen smoking on Shabbos. So you understand that when he went smoking, we hear about till today. If someone else has a weakness and that Shabbos he goes smoking, so, you know, even if a friend looks at him, he says, "Okay, you know, he fell. He'll get back on his feet." But when a big person falls, so then it has tremendous ramifications. So the Ran says, when a person is on a higher level, so then his sins carry more weight. It makes a difference where you're coming from. You jump from the window right here, that's one fall. You jump from a window on the top floor, that's another fall. Same thing, when a person transgresses, if he's coming from a lower level, then his transgression has less weight. It's less severe. ולפיכך, כל עובר דברי חכמים חייב מיתה, כי יביאו לזה מאשר הוא בוזה דבר השם יתברך. And the Ran comes back to his earlier point, and he says, that's why rabbinic mitzvot carry more weight, because when a person transgresses a rabbinic mitzvah, there's very often that element of thought, "I don't care." And come on, so the rabbi said so. What do you mean, so the rabbi said so? The Torah says, listen to them. And if you're not accepting it, so then there's that element of, "I don't care." And then it's reflective on everything. And this is the Ran's punchline, where he's been building up this, and he says, so I kept saying that when one transgresses a rabbinic mitzvah, it carries more weight. Now you see why. It's not only rabbinic mitzvot, but any mitzvah that carries with it that attitude of, "I don't care," is really a reflection on one's attitude to the whole Torah. And that's why rabbinic mitzvot will very often carry a greater weight, to the point of a death penalty. And that's what the Ran has been pushing so far in this speech.